This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
At a pretrial hearing in Plymouth Superior Court, defense attorney Kevin Reddington told the judge something that stopped the room. He said his client continues to experience certain types of ideation, S-ideation. He said she needs to be monitored thoroughly and throughout the day. He said that if Lindsay Clancy dies before the trial or during it, that is on somebody, and it's not him. Take a moment with that. A woman awaits trial for the murder of her three children. She is being held alive in a psychiatric hospital, kept stable enough to face a jury by the same system her legal team argues failed to keep her well when her children needed her to be. She's being transported from Tewksbury State Hospital to a Plymouth courtroom in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the chest down or waist down, the result of an attempt that didn't succeed on the night everything else did. The system that couldn't save Cora, Dawson, or Callan is now responsible for keeping their mother alive long enough to be prosecuted for killing them. If you can find a cleaner encapsulation of what is broken in this picture, I'm listening. Here is where the case stands. The trial date, as of this recording, is set for July of 2026. The fourth date that has been scheduled after three prior delays, a final pretrial conference is on the calendar ahead of it. Before that, the prosecution's psychiatric evaluation of Lindsay is scheduled to take place over 3 days, followed by a status hearing. The judge is still weighing a defense motion to split the trial into two pieces, one for guilt, one for criminal responsibility. It's a ruling that has not yet come, and that will materially shape everything about how this proceeds when it finally does. Here's something that doesn't get said clearly enough about this case. The central facts are not in dispute. In documents filed by her own legal team, Lindsay Clancy has never contested that she was the one who harmed her children. The only question at trial, the single thing a jury will actually be asked to decide, is whether she bears criminal responsibility for those acts, given her mental state at the time. Everything else is framing. The prosecution's answer is yes, she was responsible. Plymouth County District Attorney Timothy Cruz has charged her with 3 counts of first-degree murder, alleging deliberate premeditation and extreme atrocity and cruelty. Prosecutors point to the Apple Maps search, the strategic errand, the deliberate window allegedly created, as evidence of planning. They allege she searched "Can you treat a sociopath?" in the weeks before the killings. They allege she wrote in her journal that she sort of regretted her older children, and they point to the December 2022 assessment at Women and Infants Hospital, which found no postpartum depression and ruled out bipolar disorder as proof that Lindsay was not as mentally compromised as the defense claims. The defense answer is no, she was not responsible. They will argue she was in active psychosis. You can't pick and choose which diagnosis you're going to believe and which ones you're not and which med's going to work and which one's not and when you're going to take responsibility for this or not for that. Dear prosecution, because when you do that to a brain, which is exactly what happened to Lindsay Clancy, take this, don't take that. Now let's jump off of this. Let's jump into that. Let's take you off this. Let's get you on that. Let's add some of this to that. And then, you know what? You can't do that with those sort of drugs. And every damn person who gave them to her knows that. The problem is this one didn't know what that one was doing. And there's no clear way of communicating these things, apparently, in the back, where we, as the general public, assume wrongly that our doctors are communicating important information about our health amongst one another when we have to go see one for this and one for that, but they're all intermingled together, especially about one's mental health. It's not like she went in for like a hangnail. And I was expecting psychiatric treatment. Can we do better? But it's her fault that she had a breakdown and her brain went the way it did. Let's add this. Let's add that. Let's move this over here. The defense answer is no, she was not responsible. They'll argue she was in active psychosis, hearing command hallucinations she could not resist, the product of a serious undiagnosed psychiatric condition the medical system allegedly failed to identify or treat. They will argue the women and infants assessment was itself a failure, built on an inadequate patient history, because it was, producing a wrong answer that prosecutors have since elevated into the cornerstone of their case. At the March 2026 hearing, where this was argued, both sides revealed just how philosophically opposed they are about what a trial in this case should even look like. Reddington argued that in a single trial, he would be forced to present mental health evidence that simultaneously implicates Lindsay in the killings, a violation, he says, of her constitutional right not to provide evidence against herself. Under the Massachusetts Constitution, which extends further than the federal Fifth Amendment, he argues the two questions, did she do it, and was she responsible, must be separated to protect her rights. Prosecutor Sparg's counter to the bone, she argued that by choosing to mount an insanity defense and submitting Lindsay for psychiatric evaluation, the defense has already waived that Fifth Amendment protection, citing Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court precedent, making clear that defendants who raise mental health defenses and allow psychiatric interviews have effectively relinquished the right to use self-incrimination as a shield. One trial, Sparg said, the two phases would be virtually identical anyway. The judge took it under advisement. No ruling as of our recording right now. What is at stake in that procedural dispute goes beyond scheduling. If the trial is bifractured, jurors in phase one focus almost entirely on whether Lindsay committed the acts. Relatively undisputed. They could settle that in a day before hearing anything about the voices, the psychosis, the 17-minute appointments. If it is not by fracture, the jury hears everything at once, which is essentially what they'll probably do anyway. The horror of what happened in that basement and the psychiatric history that allegedly produced it, inseparable, competing for the same emotional space at the same time, is the thought process and concern. How a jury encounters that information is itself a form of outcome, which is why both sides are fighting about it. Running parallel to all this is the civil case, arguably the more consequential legal battle in the long run. The malpractice suits filed separately by Lindsay and Patrick in January 26 are making claims that the criminal trial cannot, that specific name providers through specific documented failures caused the deaths of three children. And if those claims succeed in civil court, the precedent for how postpartum mental illness is treated, coordinated, and documented could shift in ways a criminal verdict never reaches. That's how it's more powerful, because it can reach out and affect far more lives than just what's going to be affecting Lindsay Clancy and her immediate family. Because here is the thing that no verdict in Plymouth is going to fix. Postpartum psychosis is not listed as a standalone diagnosis in the DSM. It has been documented since the time of Hippocrates. It occurs in 1 in 2 out of every 1,000 births, the same rate as Down syndrome and cerebral palsy. It carries a real risk of both someone who's going to end it and infanticide. And the Psychiatric Professional Foundation's reference manual still doesn't give it its own entry, which means no standardized training, no clean insurance pathway, no systematic protocol for catching it before something catastrophic happens. A survivor of postpartum psychosis has spoken publicly about this case. She said her story was nearly identical to Lindsay's, the same voices, the same dismissals, the same cycle of seeking help and being sent home. She said the difference between her outcome and Lindsay's was the sixth provider she eventually saw who got it right. Six. She said if it had been the fifth, she and her daughter would both be gone. She got to six. She got lucky. How many women never get to six? That question will not be answered in any courtroom. The criminal verdict will tell us what the law says happened. On January 24th to 23, the civil case will run their course. But the larger question about how many women are right now, where Lindsay was in December of 2022, asking for help, being discharged after 5 days, being seen for 17 minutes on a screen, being handed one more prescription and sent home, that question belongs to all of us, not just the courts. Cora was 5, Dawson 3, Callan was 8 months old. Their mother is 35. Paralyzed. Still under S-Watch. Being held together by a system that could not hold her together when it mattered. Their father refuses to call her a monster and has the lawsuit to prove it. The grandparents show up to court hearings and stand outside courthouses and say she is a loving mother, always has been, and then go quiet because there are no more adequate words. There will be a verdict one day. It will not be enough, not for Patrick, not for the families of those three children, not for the people who believe accountability is non-negotiable, regardless of mental state. Not for the advocates watching this trial as a referendum on whether postpartum psychosis will ever be taken seriously enough. Verdicts rarely are enough in cases like this. The math doesn't resolve, the loss doesn't resolve, and the question of what we owe mothers who are drowning and begging us to notice, that one, least of all, where this case has already done, or what this case has already done, is forced the conversation into the open. Three children died before anyone was ready to have it. At least, the one thing we could do now is not let it close when the jury comes back. If you or someone you know is experiencing postpartum mental health challenges, the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline offers 24/7 support. You can call it at 833-943-5746. That's 833-943-5746. We'll continue this conversation. I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comment section on Substack or YouTube. The links are in the description. Press subscribe wherever you're listening or watching so you don't miss any of our coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.